Psalms chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11 is where we're going to be tonight. Thank you so much for being in your place here this wonderful Wednesday evening. Psalms chapter 11 tonight. And we're working our way through the Psalms and trying to take a chapter at a time and trying to learn a lesson out of time. And certainly there is a lot more to learn and more to be developed in these chapters than what we are pulling out. But for time's sake, we are just trying to pull out one idea. So Psalms chapter 11, and tonight actually is one of the smaller of the Psalms. So Lord willing, we'll be able to make our way all through seven verses. So Psalms chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. In the Lord put I my trust.
Amen.
Can you say that tonight? In the Lord put I my trust. Not in men, not in a church, not in friendship, not in comfort, not in finances, not in a government, not in a nation, not in a man. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, and his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this evening that you would give us eyes to see and you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to us from Psalms chapter 11. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. One word, here it is: shaken. Shaken. Psalms chapter 11, the first three verses, David is actually quoting what someone has said to him. These are or are not possibly or necessarily true. Right there, he's saying what someone has said to him. We know that because in verse number 1, he says, how say ye to my soul? So now it's a quotation. How do you say to me, someone has said to me, people are saying to me, quote, flee as a bird to your mountain. The wicked bend their bow and they shoot at you in the shadows. The foundations are being destroyed. There is nothing that we can do. So verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3 are actually quotations to David. You've probably heard verse 3 in particular. You've probably heard that verse taught on or preached about or referenced. Like, if the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? That's why we need to make sure the foundations are never destroyed. We need to take up arms and we need to make sure that we keep the foundations good. And they're going to charge us that way with verse number 3. This is not necessarily a wrong charge. It's not necessarily a bad thing to make sure that people aren't whittling away at the foundations. But the foundations are not being destroyed. The foundations are not being destroyed. That's what David's point is. How do we know that? Because of verse 4. Look at verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. There's nothing that can be done on earth that can destroy the foundation in heaven. Nothing done on earth can destroy a foundation which is in heaven. Nothing done on earth can destroy a foundation, because the foundation for David is in heaven. This is what he's saying. Okay, so David's saying, I get it. Everything right now seems to be falling apart. And when things are falling apart, and when the ground under your feet is being shaken, the word destroyed is the word shaken. The foundation, like an earthquake, it shakes and it breaks, and it reveals weakness in the foundation of a building. And when the earth shakes and it breaks the foundation, the house is destroyed. And that's what David's saying. They're saying to David, the foundation is being shaken. We're going to lose what we've been building. And David is saying, no, because the Lord is in heaven. You can't lose what's in heaven. No earthquake can cost you what is in heaven and not on the earth. The foundation will not be shaken. The foundation will not be destroyed. What they're saying to David is, they're saying, run, fly, flee like a bird to a mountain, because you have no refuge here. You aren't safe here. That's what they're saying. There are people who are shooting at you from the shadows. That's verse 2. Their bow is bent. It's pulled back, and they're ready to shoot. Commentators think that this is actually true of David at this point in David's life. That certainly as a king, there would be always the threat of an assassination, but certainly King David would, his life would kind of polarized people, and people would have loved to have taken a shot at him. So this is probably actually physically true. There are people who are trying to assassinate David. There are people saying to David, you should just run, because what else can you possibly do? And there are people saying to David, verse 3, you are going to lose it all. So find a cave, get in it, hide, bunker down, and I hope you have enough canned goods to last you through the winter. That's what they're saying. But the foundation can't be destroyed. That's David's point. It's similar to what we talked about on Sunday night. What is of the Lord will last, and what is not of the Lord won't last. If God wants it to last, it lasts. And if God wants to tear it down in a night, then God tears it down in a night. But whatever God chooses to do is up to God. This is what he's saying here, same thing. So you say, the foundations are being destroyed. And David says, no. No, pseudo foundations can be destroyed. Fake foundations can be destroyed. But if you're building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord is in heaven, then no amount of shaking can wreck or ruin or destroy what you're building. If you're building your life on the sure foundation, if you're building your life on Christ, then no amount of shaking can destroy it. But if you're building your life on something other than Christ, then certainly shaking will reveal what you have built your life on, and it will reveal that it was, in fact, not a good foundation. And so foundations. I got some cardboard foundations. Aren't they colorful? It only took me 6 hours to build these this afternoon. with the help of our wonderful staff. If you build your life on finances, oh, that can be lost in a day. Haven't we learned that? Build your life on friendship. Anybody had a friend abandon them? I'm going to put two hands up for that one. Okay. Audience participation is so far is like at a negative two. Okay, so we're going to have to get with it or the sermon will stretch on. Build your life on acceptance. That won't last. Build your life on approval. Approval of others. That won't last. Build your life on relationships. Anybody gone in a relationship and out of a relationship? Don't raise your hand on that one. Build your life on traditions. Traditions come. Traditions go. Build your life on family. Anybody had any family leave them, abandon them, forsake them, hurt them? Build your life on, you can name it, job, your car, your kids, your parents. I'm running out of things to say. I'm running out of ways to carry it. You build your life on anything other than, hold on. Wait for it. I'm going to work. You build your life on any. Like one phone call. Just one. And everything you've been building for, and everything you've been hoping for, and everything you're building joy on, and everything you're building, all of it, it's all being built and stacked up on this, and then one phone call. Right? What do you have that can't be lost at the end of just one phone call by the end of the night tonight? What do you have that you can't lose before the day ends today? Pleasure, entertainment, money, career, success. Build your life on anything other than the Lord. And it is true. The foundation is being destroyed. And there's nothing that you can do to stop it. Like sand running through your hands. You can try to grab it and hold it and contain it. But you just can't. But there is a way to build your life on something that last. They tell me that underneath this platform is nothing but like one big slab of concrete. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll find out. There's only one thing that you can build your life on and you won't lose before the day is over. And that one thing is Christ. And nothing else matters. Look, listen, Amanda, is she even in here tonight? Amanda's a good, godly woman. She's a great wife. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. She's a wonderful person. But if I build my life on her, I'll crush her and I'll fall in the process. See, that relationship, as strong as it is, as good as it is, as wonderful of a wife as she is, as good to me as she has been, she and that relationship, and her in particular, cannot bear the weight that has to stand on top of it. It's crushing. It smashes it. We say things like, "It's being in a relationship with you is just... it's suffocating." What do we mean? We mean we've built way too much on that. as good of a wife as she is, as wonderful of a woman as she is, as spiritual of a person as she is, sin does exist. David is saying, the Lord is in his holy temple. Everybody in David's world saying, we're losing everything we've been building. Well, if you've been building on anything other than God, then yes, it will be lost. But if it's being built on God, so you take your hopes and your dreams and your desire and your finances and your friendships, and you take them, and instead of building them on themselves, you're building them and you're placing them on God. Well, that's something altogether different now, isn't it? That's something altogether different. Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. The foundation, God, is in the temple. David would specify, again, the Lord's throne is in heaven. He would draw a contrast there. That's for our benefit, not for his. It's because this, when we see the phrase, the Lord is in his temple, we would immediately, and especially his readers, would have immediately associated that with the temple that sits in the middle of Jerusalem. But David is making a bigger picture. He's saying, no, God isn't sitting in the middle of the temple in Jerusalem so that if vandals ran through here and hijacked our temple, they could in some way hijack God. No, God is in his temple, and God's throne is in heaven. It's not even reachable, is what he's saying. Shake all you want, vandal all you want, raid all you want, but my joy and my approval and my acceptance and my satisfaction and the deep longing in my heart and my aim and my goal and my eyes, they are lifted to something that is otherworldly. It's not here. It cannot be taken from me here, because it's not here, it's there. What do you do when things are shaking? Well, the first thing you have to remember is that no matter how bad it looks, it hasn't changed a thing. Because God is still reigning. I get it. It looks bad. Look at all my blocks. Who made this mess? Somebody crushed this one. Probably had too much for lunch. Man, let's fix this thing back. And here's what we try to do. We try, oh, good night. All these people in my life, if they would just leave me alone, if that pastor would just shut up, if we would just quit it, then I would be, if he would just come back, and if they would give me my job, and if they would stop being bad, and if she would say nice things, and if he would say nice things, and then... Look, I got my life back. Do you? I ain't got anything back. That's what he's saying. That can't happen to God. That can't happen to God. What's changed? Your world's shaking. Right, I get it. But what's changed? Nothing. Because my foundation is not here. My foundation is there. My joy is not here. My joy is there. My love is not here. My great love is there. My heart, my hope, my expectation, it is not here. It is there. What is lost here is a pseudo foundation. What's lost here is a phony foundation. What's lost here is a fake foundation. Thus, it's no foundation at all. So David is saying, no. No, the foundation isn't destroyed because the Lord is in His holy temple. And no, I don't need to run to the mountain to hide because the Lord is in His throne and His throne is in heaven. David says, no. The Lord's eyes behold and His eyelids try the children of men. Verse 5, and the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. That's an interesting verse. Well, why does he add verse 5 right there after verse 4? Why does he say, no, the Lord tries the righteous and the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul, the Lord, hateth? Okay, so let me show you a Bible study technique. It's what I want to show you through this passage. Because Psalms 11, I read it. I was like, God, what are you trying to teach us here? Certainly David isn't like, the foundations are destroyed. No, God's in heaven. Certainly he's not going back and forth like he's out of his mind in some way. No, what do you teach us? The Lord is showing me this. He said, the Lord is in his temple. Everyone's saying to David, we're losing everything. No, you're not losing anything. You're only losing what you can't keep anyway. It's what Jim Elliot says, right? You take my life. Go ahead and take my life because my life isn't mine to keep anyway. Nothing here can actually be kept. Only what's done for Christ lasts. Only what's done for God is any good. My life is nothing. Try to keep the earth and you lose heaven, but live for heaven and you get the earth thrown in. He said, you can't keep it anyway. So David is saying, the Lord is in his temple. Then David is saying, the Lord tries. Here's the technique. So when you read a verse, you say, okay, what's God trying to teach us? You look for the positive, you look for the negative in the verse. Okay, so just a technique. You can try this. Look for the positive, look for the negative in the verse. Okay, let's look for the negative because we're Baptists. We want to see that first. Verse 5. Where's the negative? The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul, here's the negative, hateth. His soul hateth. Okay, so God judges the wicked. God judges those that love violence. How does God do that? God judges the wicked. God hates the wicked. God judges over them. God will, verse 6, rain down snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. My wife was witnessing to somebody this week and they said, well, I might come to your church and hear your husband preach, but let me ask you, is your church one of those fire and brimstone churches or are you one of those churches that just like to teach? And Amanda says, this is a great answer, Amanda says, can we be like halfway in the middle? Like, do we have to be like one or the other? And the guy goes, yeah, you can be in the middle. I like churches in the middle. It's a good answer, right? So hopefully he's not hearing this lesson because fire and brimstone's coming, right? So the negative is hateth. Okay, what's the opposite then? Look at the verse, verse 4. We want to try the positive, we want to try the negative. The negative, it's something that the Lord hates. The positive, okay, let's find the positive. Something that the Lord loves. Well, he loveth violence. That can't be right. See, the opposite in verse 5, the opposite of hate is the word trieth. The word trieth is our word test. The word trieth is our word examine. Like if you're in chemistry class and you're going to take a chemistry test, you're going to be examined about what you know about chemistry. So it's the same idea, same use of the word. It's an exam, it's a test. Same idea, the same root idea that David is communicating in verse 5. The Lord trieth, or the Lord tests, or the Lord examines the righteous. Whoa. So there's a shaking that happens, and when the shaking happens, it is the Lord executing judgment on the wicked because the Lord hates the wicked. And so the shaking that happens for the wicked is judgment. It's snares. It's fire and brimstone. It's a horrible tempest. It's a shaking. The Lord tries all of our hearts. The Lord tries all of our ways. The Lord tries our ways, the righteous, and the Lord tries the ways of the wicked. And the way of the wicked is found to be wicked, so there is judgment with the wicked. But the Lord tries and tests and examines the righteous. There's a shaking that happens for the righteous as well. There's a shaking that happens for those that love God as well. There's a shaking that happens not just to the wicked, but that happens to the righteous as well. Why? To try them. To test them. To examine them. The shaking, for what purpose? For judgment? No. Shaking for examination. This is what God does to Job. This is what God does to Job. Satan's aim in Job's life is to destroy. Satan's aim in Job's life is to tear down. God's aim in Job's life is to try, to prove what he knows about Job. God, I've gone through all of the earth, and there's nobody down there that loves you. So now what do you think? Oh, but have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen my prize gem? This is like telling the thief, look at all of our jewelry. This one is the best one in the whole bunch. Well, he only loves you because you won't let anything happen to him. He only loves you because you won't shake him. Shake him and see what happens. And he shakes. And what happens? Mrs. Job, what happens? Curse God and die. What happens to Job's friends? You must have done something really bad. What happens to Job? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And it's the Lord that gives, and it's the Lord that takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Job stands. And the latter end of Job is blessed 10 times better than the start of Job's life. And Job's life started really good. He is tried. So verse 7 then, how it ends. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Okay, so look at verse 7. I want to talk you through verse 7 real quick. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. You read that verse and immediately you go, I don't understand. Of course, his countenance doth behold the upright. David already told us that. David told us that God looks at the righteous. God looks down on the earth. He told us that in verse 4. Why is David repeating himself? He's not. See the phrase, his countenance doth behold the upright? That's not talking about God. Read the verse. Let's read the verse. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. And in our grammatical understanding, we say the subject, the righteous Lord. So his is the personal pronoun to righteous Lord. So his, the righteous Lord, his countenance looks on the upright. But that's not how it reads in the text. David is saying, God sees everybody. Then comes back again and says, God sees everybody. He doesn't do that. David is saying, look at the verse. The righteous Lord loves righteousness, and his. The his there is not attached to the Lord. The his there is attached to righteousness. So the righteous person, his countenance, the countenance of this righteous person, this person who was shaken and revealed to be righteous, this person, his countenance doth behold or look to who? To the upright. Who is the upright? The Lord. Who is the upright? The Lord, because the Lord is in his holy temple. Who's the judge? The Lord. Because the Lord sitteth in judgment over everyone. So the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and he that is revealed to be righteous, his countenance is looking to the Lord. His face is turned upward. His desire, his goal, his joy is found in God and in God alone. Shaken. What do you do when you're shaken? Well, you examine your life. Are there things that you're building? Acceptance, approval, finances, friendship, relationships, job, career, tradition, culture. Are you building all these things apart from the Lord? Are you building these things on the Lord? First, you examine. Lord, try my heart. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. David prays this over and over. God, try my heart. God, try my heart. God, search me. Put me to the test. Shake me and reveal to me what I am. So the first is an examination of what's falling down in your life. Whatever falls was no foundation at all. It was fake, phony, pseudo foundation. And what do we do when we're shaken? We turn our attention to God. We turn our attention to Him. We look to Him to say, what do you want? What are you saying? My favorite chapters in all of the book of Job, my favorite chapters, Ms. Boomercott, are chapter 37, 38, 39, and 40. I think 40. 37, 38, 39. I don't even know what's in 40. If there is even a 40, I like those last ones. Because Job, at that point, finally hears from God, and God says to Job, stand up, and I'm going to talk to you like a man. You don't want God to say that to you. You don't want God to go, hello, reckoning day. And then he just blasts Job. Job says, I put my hands over my mouth, two hands over my mouth, and I just listened. As he turns his attention to God. My favorite stories is the story of the lumberjacks. They go into the trees, and they're about to cut down some trees, and as they do, they look up into the top of these trees, and there they see these beautiful birds have built themselves a nest in the top of the tree. The lumberjack, he has a soft heart, so he decides he would rather not injure the bird. So he takes his axe, and instead of chopping with the sharp end of the axe, he takes the blunt end and he begins to hit it against the tree and begins to shake the tree. He just makes a lot of racket, a lot of noise. The bird looks over the edge and he's like, what are you doing, Buster? And he's hitting the tree. He's hitting the tree. He's like, dude, I'm trying to sleep here. He's hitting the tree and he's hitting the tree. Finally, the bird gets so irritated that the bird gets out of its nest and moves its nest to the other tree and says, fine, leave me alone. But then the lumberjack knows that he's got to cut down that tree as well. So he goes to that tree, he takes the blunt end of the axe, and he starts hitting it against the tree, shaking the tree, shaking the tree. The bird looks over his nest and says, dude, I just relocated from the other subdivision. Now I'm in this one. Now why? This one's got to come down too. You're not safe here either. The bird says, fine. He moves to a completely different tree. The lumberjack goes, that one I got to cut down too. He takes the blunt of the axe. He hits it against the tree, hits it against the tree, hits it against the tree. And the bird says, where can I go? He says, you got to leave. You got to go all the way to the north side of the forest. If you don't go to the north side of the forest, you won't be safe. He said, that big, mean lumberjack. He won't let the bird sleep. Is he? Or is he a loving lumberjack and he knows that the tree that the bird thinks is safe has got to fall? Is it hateful of God when he shakes our life and he causes us to realize all these things that we were holding up and building up, they won't last? Is it that, or is it loving of God when God shakes our life and when he shakes our life, he causes us to realize where we really are standing? No, it's certainly most loving of God. It's certainly most loving of God to shake our life and to cause us to realize that what we are building on will not last. Can I show you how this translates to the New Testament? One passage, we'll read it and we'll go home. Let's stand up. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll stand, we'll read this verse, and we'll go home. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you. verse 25. So here's how it translates into the New Testament. See that ye refuse him not that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. He said, if you don't listen to God, when God is trying to wake you up and knock on your door and shake your life, if you don't listen, you won't escape. If you keep building pseudo, fake, phony foundations, you won't escape. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, we're in verse 26, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He's saying the exact same thing David just said. He said, there's a way to build your life so that when a shaking happens, it stands, it lasts, it endures. It's not lost. And there's a way to do life in which you build your life so when a shaking happens, you lose it all. But there is coming a shaking. We're in verse 28. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom, look, which cannot be moved. There's a way to live life in which your life can't be moved. Yeah, but everything's shaking, but my life isn't moving. Yeah, but everything's falling around, but my life isn't moving. Yeah, but everybody's telling me everything's going bad, but my life is not moving. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence, godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What's the consuming fire? It's the testing, it's the trials, it's the shaking, it's the examination of our hearts. Can I ask you tonight, where are you standing? Where are you standing? I, for one, want to build my life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word tonight, and God, we ask that you